the secret of a great life. Thank you. There we go. It's a thank you note. It's a thank you note that the Apostle Paul wrote to, I think, what I would have to say was his favorite church. The church that he loved and poured his heart into all the time, and that's the church at Philippi. That passage of Scripture is extremely familiar. It's one that we talk about all the time. But it comes out of the book of Philippians, the third chapter, and just two verses there, the 13th and 14th verse. But I like what George W. Truett, one of the great, great preachers of more than 100 years ago now, but he made the statement about Paul, which I truly believe is true. The greatest single credential that Christ's gospel has ever produced. I think that's a great description of who the Apostle Paul was. And it's very, very true in this passage. In the 13th verse of the third chapter of the book of Philippians, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press." What do I press for? "I press towards the mark for the prize." If this is God's prize that he gives, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. How often do we press for things like that? Do we press for things like that? You know, that's the beauty of a new year is pressing towards something that has not been revealed to us yet this year. You say, "Well, I've lived a long time. I've seen everything." No, you haven't. I'm sorry. I don't care how old you are. 100-year-olds in the back hasn't seen everything. Every day something changes. We have some new invention that comes along. We have some new way of communicating. Something comes along. But I love what Paul says. I haven't got there. And that tells me a lot about his spirit. He was wanting to see what God had for him next. And God wants us to see that very same thing. I couldn't begin to exaggerate the influence that Paul's had on the church. There's no way I could even make it. I couldn't take it over the top with him. But he had something to say to us. And I think it's something that we need to put it down in our own memory banks. Whether you write it down or you lock it away, entrapped in that steel trap that you have. Okay, write it down because I know you're not going to remember that. And make sure your trap's open so you get some of this. I don't mean this trap. I mean this one up here, okay? There's a great secret. It's a secret that's not a secret. Because everybody should know these things. You want to have a great life in 2024? You want to be everything that God wants you to be this year? You say, "Well, how do you get there?" Well, the first thing is this. He said, "This one thing I do." One thing. He didn't say 12. He didn't say 2. He said, "This one thing I do." We live in a world of all multitasking people. We like to do this. We like to get this. We got to go here. We got to make it. You got talents. You got gifts. You want to use them all. You want to do everything. Well, I can tell you this about it, okay? Some of you are absolutely amazing, the things that you accomplish. It's great. Moms, you guys accomplish more than any dad ever thought about doing. But when Paul gets down to this thing in verse 30, he says this thing, "I got one thing." One thing. You say, "Well, how could Paul say that? He did so many different things." He did one thing, and this is what pressed him all the time. He was a specialist of doing the will of God. That's his high calling. His high calling was to do the will of God. Now, In some regards, many of us are kind of those guys that we do a lot of things. You know, we've had our hands in many, many deals, and we even have a company out there. It's called Jack of All Trades. Well, I can tell you this, a Jack of All Trades today in this world is done. It's done. Now, I'm not saying the business is dumb because they provide people to meet this, but this is a world of specialties. What are you good at? If you're good like Paul was, Paul said, I'm going to do one thing. And that one thing, I am going to follow after God and find out the high calling that he has given me to serve him in the best way that I possibly can. I saw a cartoon years ago in a doctor's office, and it was about a podiatrist. A podiatrist sitting there, and the guy was asking him, so what do you do, sir? They're just sitting there. He said, well, I'm a podiatrist, but I'm a brain surgeon on the side. I thought, well, some people's brains are in their foot, so you know, maybe that's a good thing to have. But I can tell you this, Jesus had it correct. And he had it correct for the church. He said, no man can serve two masters. You either get it down that we came and this is who we serve. And this was Paul's prime conviction. It was a conviction that he had. He said, I've been redeemed for one purpose and one purpose only, to do the will of God. Now, we spent an entire year last year. You can look back on it and you say, well, I had a great year. Maybe I didn't have a great year. Maybe I made some mistakes. Maybe these things came along. Can I tell you something about this new year? Why do we not make that our priority, to do the will of God? We just came through the Christmas season. We spent, and I remarked on this earlier, but we spend money on things for each other, for things, and that's what a blessing. That's an absolute blessing. But can I say this? Is that a priority? What is our priority for this new year? It's what you will do. Are you your own priority? Are the things that you see, is that the priority? Or is it what God has said the priority? And you say, well, I don't know about that. Well, go to the Word. You can get lost right here in the Word. It's a simple thing. And I love the other thing that Paul made about that very thing. He has one thing that he wanted us to do. It says, it's called common sense. You say, well, I don't believe that. I believe in divine sense. Well, I believe in that also. But I'd like to see a little common sense to go along with it, divine sense. God gave you a brain. It was his idea. And now don't blame him if you don't have much of one. But he said, Paul said, this is common sense. Forget the things that are behind. Forget it. Forget about all the things that took place last year in this regard. Don't forget the important things. And he never forgot about doing the will of God. We should be given this year, if we haven't had it before, the ability to forget some things. You say, well, I got a lot of things. Well, okay, forget your blunders. Don't tell me you don't have them. You're telling your preacher that you don't have blunders. I know better. Forget your mess-ups. Forget the things that really were not everything. Forget some of the poor actions that you might have done. Forgetting those things. Why? Because they're under the blood of Jesus Christ. I hope that you repented of those things. I hope you've asked God to enable you not to repeat those things. But he says, if you want to move forward, if you want to press for the mark, you need to forget the things which are behind. You need to forget life's injuries. Those are things that happened to Paul all the time. You know, we've been watching football. Of course, we've been watching football. Go Cowboys. Okay, I'm praying, people. Don't you understand? I'm praying, okay? And they need all the prayers they can get. Okay. But I watched the playoffs, you know, get in. Ethan, I cheered for the Longhorns. It was hard, but I did, buddy. I cheered. I cheered for them, and it just didn't come to pass the way it could have come to pass, but that's okay. And I definitely cheered for another team, but they weren't wearing red. Don't tell Dave Kistler I did not cheer for Alabama. As bad as some of the things I don't like about Michigan, but I did cheer for Michigan. Because I'm tired of watching Alabama. You say, well, what's that have to do with it? It has a lot to do with it. We live in a world of rivalries today. Robinson Rockets, they got rivalries. They got teams they like, got teams they don't like. We live in a world of competition. We want to be the best. We don't want to be second best. We want to be the best. We want to do it. I hope you want to be the best. I hope you want to do everything that you can. We live in a world of friction. And that friction sometimes overruns us till we lose sight of what God wants us to do. And we get poisoned. We get poisoned with hate. We get poisoned with animosities. We get poisoned with revenge. We get all of those things. We get poisoned with a simple thing. I don't get mad. I just get even. Really? What did Paul say? Get over that part. Forget those things which are behind. Forget the slights that you received. Forget those kind of things because it's injuring your future. It's injuring everything that we'll ever do for God. We can't go forward until we get done with the things in the past. Lest we put that behind us and say, this is what God said. This is his word. He loves us. He forgave us. Why don't we live like him? Ooh. Those are the things we need to do. Because there's always going to be slights. There's always going to be injuries in this life. We will never escape that. But I got even a better one for you. Forget your successes. You know, it's a whole lot easier to live past adversities in life than it is prosperity. Because prosperity, all of a sudden, it says to you, well, I got this raise. I made this amount of money. And then pretty soon, look at me. Look what I got. Look at my pride. Listen to what I have to say. I'm going to talk about nothing but what took place in my life that gave me all. Oh, who did that for you? It was God. It was our Savior. He was the provision. He's the blesser of anybody's life. If a man can bear success, if he can do that, he can bear anything. I mean anything. I've been blessed to be around people that have made it financially. They really have. But they're some of the most humble men that I know. Then I've been around some that thought they had everything and they don't anywhere compare and they're so proud of what they got, you know, and they're a pain to be around. But adversity, it comes our way. But success, great example. You remember Isaiah? Yeah, I love Isaiah. We're studying that. That's a great book. In the 6th chapter, remember his statement? He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. You know, King Uzziah was a great king up to a point. Then prosperity came. God blessed him, as he's done so many people. And then pretty soon they thought it was them that had done it, and they forgot God. What happened to Uzziah? The Bible says his heart was lifted up. And because his heart was lifted up, it was lifted up to destruction. Forget your successes. Forget your sorrows. I'm not saying you're going to get over everything. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say if you lost somebody this past year, as we have all lost people, and every year it happens the same way. But we need to learn to let Jesus take over those sorrows. We need to let him be who he said he was. And I love Paul writes, he wrote it to the Corinthians again in the 2nd letter. He says, for our light affliction, which is but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What is he saying? The stripes that I got, the beatings that I took, the shipwrecks, the stonings, all these things, a light affliction. Why? Because it's for the cause of Christ. Because this is what God allowed. It wasn't that long ago. Preacher, I think God needs to compensate me for the sufferings that I've had. I want to go, you're alive, aren't you? You breathe every day, don't you? There's food in there. You got a shelter, don't you? What kind of compensation are you looking for? What do you think God owes you? He's given you something. And if you know him, he's given you eternal life. What more are you wanting? Can you not wait for the glories of heaven what he has provided for you? Oh, no, I need compensation. I said, well, you might get it today, but don't bank on it tomorrow. You might receive something today. Who are we to demand of God this? We are blessed every day. His mercies endure forever. Do you want the world's compensation? I want God's compensation. And I'm willing to take it when he gives it. I'm willing to receive it as he gives us. So we need to forget our sorrows, as hard as that is. And I'm not being callous to you people. I'm not. But all of us have them. All of us have walked through these things, and we walk through them together. And that's why God has given us fellowship and strength for each other. And we need to let each other be that strength. There are times when people are down. Why can we not lift them up? Because tomorrow I may be down. And I'm hoping and praying that you'll be there to help lift me up. Because I know that sorrows is coming my way, as it does for every one of us. So forget last year's sorrows. Put them aside. How about forget our sins? Well, I'm not saying that you just turn your back on like, well, you know, God, he'd just be real. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that at all. But Jeremiah said, forgive and remember no more. That's what he said about God. That's the promise that he gave. Could you imagine what Paul would have been like if he would have allowed the sins that took place in his early life? He'd have been crippled forever. I mean, Stephen, could you not imagine that every moment of every day that Stephen's face came up to him and he was standing there holding the cloaks as they were killing him? You imagine that God would bring that before him all the time? How about the persecution of the church? How about all the mistakes that he made? That's why he said, I am the chief of sinners, because I've done these things. But that's why he wrote to the Philippians, said, forget those things which are behind. I can't change them. I can't do anything. And we need to do that in our personal lives. We need to lay those things aside. We need to get past the sins that we have committed, and we have committed. We do not honor God by keep going over it and over it and over it. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. From, not in it, from it. That's the promise that he gave to us. Satan doesn't need any help beating you up. You can beat yourself up, and you do a far better job. He does not need to be reminded of it. He says, we have been forgiven. We're under the blood of Christ. We need to let it go away. If God forgives me, then I have the right to forgive myself. You may not agree with that. Okay, take it up with the Word of God, okay? Because that's where it came from. So, that's the second principle. There's a good forgettery that you need in your own life, and we need to have it. And now, if you can forget some of those things, can you anticipate some things? I'm anticipating what God's going to do this year. There are some things that have been taken off my plate. Praise God. And there's some things that are going to be added. And I'm excited to see what God wants to add to them. He said, how can I get past this if I don't fix my eyes on what God has for me? How can I get past it if I got my eyes set on all the things that went south in the last year? How will I ever see what God wants me to do in the future? Are we going to be bound down by what took place back here? Or are we going to see, God, what can you do for me now? What is it you want me to do now? This one thing I do, I focus on what you want in my life today. This is the future. This is what God has for me. The Lord still has things ahead for you, people. He still has things that we have not seen yet. We haven't walked through this year. Well, if any indication, no. The past is not an indication of everything in life. There are new things that come into our lives every day. And there'll be something new that God has for us if we are willing to see what he wants to do with us. Now, Will you do some of the things you did in the last year? Yeah, probably so. We'll probably run by opportunities and they'll move on. Well, blew right past me, never even saw it. But that's okay. That's all right. There's going to be heartaches. Okay? There's heartaches. We all have them. They're going to be there. I can't always run past some of those things, but I know this, I can run to Him. I can always cast myself upon Him. I got a Holy Spirit that says, I can do this. Well, I don't know. I don't really want to face that. Well, get over it, because you're going to face it whether you want to or not. What is the fear of the unknown if we're in the hands of God? Well, I might get cancer. I might have this. I might have that. Man, we live in a world of terror every day. Just because it's not hitting us right here in America right now, just because we're not experiencing terrorism like it and it's going all over the world, does not mean that we don't live in a world of that. But whose hands are we in? That's the future. That's what God said He would do for us. What's ahead? I don't know. When Brother Carr died, he took the crystal ball with him. Man, I'm telling you. I said, could you not at least give me a little heads up on it? He said, yes, I got heads up for you, Jim. Sickness. Okay, that's not the heads up I was looking for. Loneliness. It's there. I see it every day. I talk to people about it all the time. Death. It'll come. It'll be there. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. It's going to happen. Yes, all those things will take place. And if we trust in Him, we'll be prepared for those days. We'll be prepared for what He has. We just have to wait it out. It'll come in God's time, not in my time. It'll come about when He wants it to come to mind. Jesus waited that out. Jesus did every one of those things. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What does He say? I'll fear no evil. Why? Because Thou art with me. I've given you everything, my rod, my staff. I've honored you in the presence of your enemies. All those people that you have a problem with, I will exalt you because I'm God and you're serving me. So what is ahead of me? God's still ahead of me. The Lord is still ahead of me. Can I tell you another thing that's ahead of me? Eternity. You say, well, I didn't get a fair shake. Really? What did God say I give you? I'm going to give you a place in my kingdom. I'm giving you a place in heaven. I'm doing all these things for us. What are you waiting on? I'm living that every single day. God has planned a place for me. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, how much more encouragement could I give you this morning? But this one thing I do, this one thing I do, I'm searching out the very things that God wills for me to do. And how do I do that? Well, I get past some things. I forget those things are behind. But I press. I'm pressing. There's a mark out there. There's a place out there. And that place right there will bring me to the pinnacle. And that pinnacle, it's Christ-likeness. That's ahead of me. Paul said, I haven't apprehended. Man, if he didn't get it, who's going to get it? He said, I'm not satisfied. Are you satisfied with your spiritual life this last year? And so I had a pretty good one. That's great. Can it be better? We just talked about, Ron and I were talking about business. And I said, if your boss says, well, we need to up production. He said, I'm at that production. You go, they'll make it bigger. Right? And then when they always expect something more. They expect you to be the miracle worker today. Why is that not true about us as God's people? Is there not something more that God wants? Yes. I can be more Christ-like. I can do more things for the cause of Jesus Christ. I hate to say this, but sometimes I look at Christians, they're not very impressive. You want to know why friends are not Christians that you're around? Because they won't look at you. Hey, I'm just going to be a matter-of-fact people. They look at us and they said, if that's all that it is, it's not much. But he's much. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Why don't we show more of him? Why don't we show the beauty of his holiness in us? Let the Lord rest upon us the way he chooses to. Not what we've always done, but didn't I say, get past the blunders, get past the mess-ups, get past all those things. That's in the past. It's where God has it. And he said, I'll never, ever remember those things. And you shouldn't remember them. Because if you get your eyes on that, you're not going to go forward. You're not going to where I need you to go. I kind of like the old preacher that made the statement. He said, there's going to happen. It's going to happen one day. The angels of God are going to stand up and they're going to stand right by me. He says, man, how much like Jesus has he grown to be? That can be said about any one of us. And it should be said about every one of us. Every opportunity, every day God has given us to live in this world, it should be said about us. More like Jesus. Hey, there's a song like that. I love that song too. We'll sing it one of these days. But until then, John would write in the third chapter of 1 John, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Isn't that like a new year? But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Christ-likeness. That is something to look forward to every day, more, better, more complete, more substantial, more than it. And last one for you is this, is home. We got a place to go. I mean, we got a place to go. It's ahead of us. It's out there. I'm not going to be that person, well, all roads lead. No, not all roads lead there. There's only one road. It's through Jesus Christ. I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I know that to be a fact. I don't care what anybody says about it. That is the only way that we're going to get there. But that road is open to everybody. All we need to do is tap into it. So my Lord's ahead. Eternity's ahead. Christ-likeness is ahead. And the home that he has prepared for me is ahead. It's something that we need to do. How am I getting there? I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm pressing forward to those things which are before. Why? Because that's the mark. That's the pinnacle. The high calling of Jesus Christ in my life can be greater this year than it's ever been. We just need to focus on it. And we need to let that be our New Year. You want a New Year's resolution? I just gave you one. To be more like Jesus, this I know. And that's what we all have. Let's pray.